world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth. Because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth. Because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shed up. But we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, listen. You need to rejoice and be glad in it. Go and read your Bible sometime. Go read Psalms. I believe it's Psalms 118. Let me see. Can I get that verse for you? Because I quote it all the time about how this is the day that the Lord has made. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. But do you know that was the Psalms that Jesus sung on the night right before he was crucified? Huh? Do you know that? Before Jesus was crucified, the Bible says that they went out, they had ate the Lord's Supper, and they went out to Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, and they sung some hymns. And one of the hymns that they sung was hymn 118. And in that hymn 118, you have where it says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And that's verse 24. That's Psalms 118 and verse number 24. It says, "This the day that the Lord has made, we shall rejoice and be glad in it." Now, if Jesus could say that and sang that before he went to the cross, then I don't care what you're going through, you need to rejoice and be glad in it. Because you ain't finna go through no cross. You ain't finna be crucified. No, you may think you're getting ready to be crucified, but you ain't finna be crucified. No, so it ain't that bad. It ain't that bad. So rejoice and be glad in it. All right, all right. Today we got a wonderful program for you. Today is, we was listening on yesterday to a sermon that was preached by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. And he talked about an enemy in the neighborhood. And boy, he's breaking this parable down. He's breaking this parable down. Matthew 13. So go get your Bible and open to Matthew 13 as Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He's a Bible scholar now, so he's going to go deep with you. And so get close to your radio and listen as he teaches.
I'm almost through with this section, so just relax. Keep your safety belts on. There are two things we have to remember now as we move into studying the wording of this parable. One is this. Our Lord is not talking about the local church. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about that wide sphere of Christian profession that includes good and bad, true and false, leaven. He's talking about, I suppose, the nearest thing we'd have in our dictionary would be the word Christendom. You're not talking about the local church. When you read Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5, you find what God has to say about cleaning up a local church. You're not talking about that. He's talking about what's going on in this world in the name of Jesus that includes good and bad, true and false. Secondly, in this parable, our Lord is not dealing with the problem of evil in this world. That's a big problem. Philosophers have written learned books about it. I've read some of them, didn't know all that they were talking about. I'm not sure they did. I once heard Harry Rimmer say that a philosopher was a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. And the trouble is, he finds it. Our Lord is not dealing with the problem of evil in the world. He's dealing with one specific truth. Now, let me give that truth to you. In this parable, our Lord is simply teaching that wherever he plants a true child of the kingdom, the devil comes along and plants a counterfeit. That's the whole teaching of the parable in one succinct sentence. Wherever Jesus Christ today plants the true children of the kingdom, the devil comes and plants counterfeits. You see, the devil is a neighbor. I don't mean your next door neighbor is the devil. Gilbert Chesterton used to say in the Bible, we're commanded to love our neighbors and to love our enemies, probably because they're usually the same people. But Satan is a neighbor. And because of his demonic hosts, and because of his working in and through people like Judas, it seems as though he is everywhere involved against the work of God. He's that close. And he sees that these children of the kingdom have been planted. And so he comes along and plants a counterfeit. Now, on the basis of that simple statement, we're now going to move into the wording of this parable and find out what our Lord wants to share with us about the work of Satan in the world today. Now, that's a negative thought, I know, because I want to emphasize not so much the work of Satan, but the work God's given us to do, so that he, the devil, won't be successful. We do have an enemy. We're told to be sober, not solemn. I thank God he gave me a sense of humor. It was a great asset in deacons' meetings. It's one thing to be solemn and walk around looking like a cheerleader for an accident, and quite something else to be sober, to be serious. Be vigilant. Why? For your adversary, not your friend, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. And what's he out to do? Devour. Sometimes he comes as the serpent who deceives. Sometimes he comes as the lion who devours. That is, Spurgeon used to say, the devil never kicks a dead horse. I meet some of my preacher friends in conferences, and I say, well, how's the work going? Oh, terrific. No friction. There's no friction in our church. And I say, yeah, no friction, no motion. I'd be afraid if the devil wasn't fighting our ministry. He never kicks a dead horse. Now let's move into the wording of the parable. And once again, we'll look at verses 37 through 39. And notice that our Lord lists for us the elements of this parable. He begins. He answered and said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Jesus is the sower. Now, the first parable in chapter 13 is called the parable of the sower. Our Lord does not identify himself as that sower, although he is. The first parable does not begin the kingdom of heaven is like, because the kingdom of heaven came through the sowing of the word of God by Jesus when he came to earth. Jesus Christ is the sower. It's interesting to read the first 12 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew and see the different titles, the distinctives of the Lord Jesus. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? He's the King. When I was in confirmation class as a teenager, I was taught that when our Lord was on earth, he was the prophet. Now he's up in heaven as the priest, and one day he will come as the King. That's not true. He's the King right now. He is Melchizedek, King of Righteousness. Now, he's not reigning on earth yet, but he will. He accomplished everything else he set out to accomplish. I think he'll also accomplish that. When John the Baptist came, according to Matthew chapter 3, John said he's a judge. He said the axe is now being laid to the root of the trees. John the Baptist and Jesus were radicals. The word radical comes from the Latin word radix, which means radish, root. Woe be unto that congregation whose preacher only plucks off the twigs on the branches. We've got to get to the root of things. So Jesus came as the judge. He came as the teacher in chapters 5, 6, and 7. They were amazed at his authority. There are some preachers who preach from authorities. And Jesus preached with authority. I just finished reading a manuscript. Please don't send me your manuscripts. But I just finished reading a manuscript from a friend of mine. It was a nice little manuscript. But it was a lot of quotations. I mean, he had page after page of quotations from other people. And I kept saying, well, what do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? Our Lord wasn't like that. He spoke with authority. So he is the teacher. And now we're told that he is the sower of the seed. Now, let me just drop this thought into your heart. You can meditate on it tonight as you're drifting off into oblivion. I think some of you are there now. When Jesus came to this earth, he should have come as a reaper, not as a sower. The Jewish nation had enjoyed hundreds of years of the ministry of people like Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah. They had the Psalms. They had the Proverbs. They had all of this seed. And so when the Lord Jesus came, he should have come and reaped a harvest. One day he looked at a fig tree expecting to find some fruit and didn't find any. That's sad that the Creator comes and there's nothing but leaves. He told the story about the man who rented out his vineyard and sent his servants for the harvest. And these servants were either beaten or killed. And finally he sent his son, speaking about himself. Our Lord should have come as a reaper. Instead, he had to come as a sower. What a tragedy. So the Lord Jesus is the one who sows. Now, you'll notice that not only is Jesus the owner, the sower in the field, but he's the owner of the field. And our Lord said, the field is the world. Notice verse 24. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. That's verse 24. Verse 27. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? The field is the world. A lot of folks have the crazy idea that the world belongs to the devil. When you stand up on Sunday morning and sing, this is my Father's world, you're telling the truth. Now, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He is the ruler of this world system. But my Bible says, the earth is the Lord's. You believe that? I'm sure this didn't happen, but I like to believe it did happen. After creation was all finished and the angels were beholding it, the Lord Jesus got the angels together and said, you see that blue ball right over there going around the sun? Yes. That's mine. That's mine. Satan is a trespasser. This is not his world. Now, this is my Father's world, and this is my Savior's world on several counts. Number one, he made it. He made it. All things were made by him. They were made by him and for him. And for his pleasure, they exist. I wonder how much pleasure the Lord Jesus Christ gets when he looks down at this world and sees Christians fighting each other. Somewhere down in Texas is a town I want to visit. As you drive into the town, there's a church building, and on it there's a sign that says, Harmony Baptist Church. As you drive out of town, there's another church building, and the sign reads, New Harmony Baptist Church. In Lansing, Michigan, I don't know if it's still there, but several years ago, in Lansing, Michigan, here was this church building, and on the front was the sign, The Original Church of God, number 2. Not making fun of Baptists or Church of God. Don't misunderstand me. But this is Jesus' world. We are here by his permission and grace. And all what we're doing to it. It's not enough that we have messed up the cities and ruined the countryside. Now we're throwing our garbage up in space. It's terrible. He is the owner of the field. He is the sower of the seed. And you notice, he is the Lord of the harvest. The servants came and said, we didn't know it at the beginning because you can't tell by the shoots, but now that the plants are getting bigger, we can tell Somebody has sown weeds in your field. It's rather interesting that the servants were greatly disturbed by the presence of the weeds and instantly wanted to do something. They got very nervous about this and impetuously would have wrecked the whole harvest. It's good to wait and go to the Lord of the harvest and get your orders. I think we've wasted a lot of time and a lot of money not getting our orders from the Lord of the harvest. And so he is the owner of the field. He is the sower of the seed, and he is the Lord of the harvest. That gives me confidence. Now, Vance Havner, some of you remember Vance Havner. All my preacher buddy friends have gone to glory. I feel like Elijah. I only am left. I told my wife, I said, the epitaph on my tombstone ought to be, he has met his last deadline. But Vance Havner used to get up in the pulpit, and I've heard him say it so many times, he'd say, well, it's good to be here. Of course, at my age, it's good to be anywhere. But as I get older, you know what I have to fight? I have to fight becoming cynical. Cynical. I don't watch television news anymore. Because television does not report the news, it invents it. It's a problem today. You see evil in the church, you see evil in the world. You see people who have made promises and haven't kept them. It's easy to get cynical. But don't get cynical. Whatever you do, don't become cynical, because that's poison. And it robs you of all the joy and all the blessing of serving God. You know what gives me confidence as I serve God in these latter years? And I keep praying as Dr. Culbertson used to pray, Lord, help me to end well. What gives me confidence is that Jesus owns this world. He made it and he bought it with his blood. That gives me confidence. If Satan is prowling around, he is an interloper, he is a trespasser, he doesn't belong here. In fact, for that matter, everything is really out of place, isn't it? We're out of place, we don't belong here, this world's not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus is out of place, he ought to be on David's throne reigning. The devil's out of place, he ought to be in hell. And one day he will be. So it gives me confidence to know that Jesus owns the field. It gives me confidence to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is not the end of the meeting. The harvest is the end of the age. And God is going to see to it that not one kernel is lost. So much for Jesus as the sower. Let's talk about that now. The field is the world. Now, in the parable of the sower that introduces this chapter, the soil represents the human heart. And our Lord says that the seed is the Word of God. Pastors sometimes preach a series of messages on the pictures of the Bible in the Bible. Most people don't know what this book is. It's a place to keep recipes and old Sunday school papers and things like that. Whenever I'm in a used bookstore and I see Bibles, I go flip through them. You never know what you can find in a Bible. So in the parable of the sower, the seed is the Word of God. The soil represents human hearts, but not in the parable of the weeds, the tares. The field is the world. Now that word world, when it came from the lips of Jesus, must have shocked the disciples. Because up till now it's been the Jews, the Jews, the Jews. Now he says the world. Now, the Lord Jesus owns the world. We've already discussed that. And he's calling out from the world system a people for his name. The field is the world. I'm tempted at this point, but I won't do it. It's not a sin to be tempted, but I'm tempted at this point to put in a good word for the missionary enterprise of the church. We need in America today a missionary revival. There was a time in America when there wouldn't have been a youth meeting ended without a call to give your life to Jesus. When was the last time you heard an invitation to young people or to anybody? Give your life to Jesus and see if God doesn't want you to become a missionary. My wife and I started out to go to Japan. God slammed the door and said, no, I want you to stay here. But we were preparing to go to Japan as missionaries. The field is the world, not our denomination. The field is the world. Satan is concerned about the world. He goes to and fro upon the earth.
All right, we're going to have to stop the tape right there today, but we'll pick up right back there tomorrow. That was Dr. Warren Wordsby, and he was talking about the enemy in the neighborhood. All right, thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.